Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. A report released this past summer by the children's advocacy group NC Child paints a sobering picture of the way North Carolina is responding to a mental health crisis that's been afflicting the state's children. The 2022 Kids Count Data Book reported that while the state and nation have made some headway in reducing child poverty, there have been big and disturbing jumps in the number of kids experiencing anxiety and depression, and even attempting suicide in recent years. Soon after the report was released, I sat down with NC Child's Health Program Director Kaylin Safransky to learn more about the crisis and some steps state lawmakers should be taking to address it.
Well, Kaylin Safransky, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Gosh, there's myriad challenges that face our children these days when it comes to their health. But one of the issues that I know NC Child and the national organization y'all are affiliated with, Kids Count, has really been making a point of emphasis of late is the issue of mental health, and especially in the really not even aftermath, the continuing impact of the pandemic. This remains an enormous challenge for, of course, adults, but a lot of kids too. And that may not be something that a lot of people are focused on, but talk to us about sort of the extent of the problem and how widespread it is.
Absolutely. So you're spot on in that children in North Carolina are experiencing a mental health crisis. They're struggling with anxiety or depression at unprecedented levels. And we really need to expand mental health services to children and young people when and where they need it, including our schools. And so what you had kind of alluded to with the Kids Count data book and their recent release is the data book has reported that children across the country were more likely to encounter anxiety or depression in this first year of the COVID-19 crisis than in previous years. And they found that more than 1 in 10 children, 3 to 17, were diagnosed with depression or anxiety in 2020 alone, which is a huge increase over the past years that really reflects the stresses of the pandemic. In North Carolina, we also saw, of course, that racial and ethnic disparities contribute disproportionately troubling mental health conditions among our children of color. So we found in our state that 1 in 10 high schoolers attempted suicide in the year previous to the pandemic, which is unfortunately our most recent available data. And for students of color, those rates were 50% higher.
Good grief. This is a crisis, clearly.
It truly is. Furthermore, for many of our LGBTQ plus young people, they're encountering even more challenges as they seek mental health support. And they were found to be twice as many gay and lesbian or bisexual students attempted suicide as compared to their whole high school population counterparts.
Wow.
So we are truly in a crisis, and our children deserve a chance to thrive regardless of race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or gender expression. And this mental health crisis, while it's daunting, we have tools to rise to the moment for our kids.
I want to talk about some of those, but I think maybe just for our listeners out there, I wonder if you have any thoughts of when a parent maybe should start to worry about this rather than just assuming that their kid is moody or being a teenager. Are there any particular things that maybe people should be on the lookout for? Or I don't know. It just seems as if this is something, if it's so widespread, I can imagine there are a lot of people out there listening who would think, my God, maybe I've been missing the signs.
Absolutely. And such a great question. I think, you know, if there are any concerns that any parent or caregiver is having, you can talk to your pediatrician first and foremost. They are the first in your child's health, including their mental health. And not only talking to them, but not skipping out on things like their regular well checkup visits, making sure they're going at kind of the scheduled periodicity schedule that they should be. And if you have any additional concerns, you can make an additional appointment with your pediatrician. Talk through what you're seeing in your child's behavior. Talk about your concerns, what's happening in the family context that's raising concerns. If they're, you know, feeling anxious about starting school, that's a great time to reach out and talk and get a little bit more support as well as some information and potentially even referrals to additional services. All of that can come through your pediatrician. The other thing that I would want to note is if you or anyone you love or are worried about is thinking about suicide or experiencing a mental health crisis, reaching out to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, that 988 number that was recently released, is a really good other alternative for in the moment crisis support. They have trained clinicians. It is confidential and it is 24/7 and it is free. And the clinicians are the folks who are answering the phone and are able to meet any individual in crisis, as well as family members who need additional emotional support because of a crisis or because of alternative concerns. So that's another really important resource.
We've talked about some of these things that we can do as individuals. What are some of the things perhaps that we could as a state be doing?
So one way to support our children's mental health is to expand Medicaid. We know that when parents are insured, kids are more likely to get insured and get the care that they need. So as parents are coming to get care for themselves, they're also being connected to care for the rest of their family, and they're more likely to utilize that care and move forward with that care. Parents' insurance coverage also contributes strongly to family financial stability, which is another huge protective factor that promotes positive mental health and wellness for the whole family unit. When you're less stressed about one thing, it makes it easier for you to have a little bit more resilience, a little bit more support across all of the domains. But the other thing that policymakers should do is invest in evidence-based mental health screening and treatment. And school is one of the most important places where we can support kids' mental health. That means putting more funding into school nurses and social workers and other trained adults who know how to help kids in crisis and know how to help kids before they get to crisis. And when we can put those where kids are, like schools, we're much more able to meet those needs. So what legislators can really do is allocate the resources necessary to increase the presence of social workers, school nurses, psychologists, and other trained mental health professionals on staff.
We're talking to Kaylin Safransky, who's the health program director for the children's advocacy group, NC Child. We're talking a lot about mental health, but it's not the only issue that confronts our children today and confronts their health. One small bright spot in some of the reports we've seen recently is that we maybe were making some incremental progress thanks to some investments, particularly perhaps from the federal government, in reducing child poverty. I take it that might be one small hopeful sign that we've seen of late in recent months and years.
Absolutely. So the policies designed to bolster family economic security in 2020 that came by way of the COVID-19 pandemic have worked. So despite widespread loss of jobs and incomes for so many families in North Carolina, policies like the expanded child tax credit resulted in the decline of children living in poverty in our state in 2020, which signals that these policies work. And the more that we can do to get them to be extended and to stick around and maybe be re-upped as they are slowly coming to a close, I think that can help close that gap in family economic security that just so many of our families need.
It's not shocking, perhaps, that literally putting more money in the pockets of parents tends to benefit the kids over
Truly.
Time. Kaylin Safransky is the health program director for the children's advocacy group, NC Child. Kaylin, if folks want to learn more about NC Child, maybe make a contribution, volunteer, how would they best go about doing that?
Absolutely. You can always find more information at ncchild.org. We're also on Twitter and Facebook at NC Child.
Kaylin Safransky, thanks so much for your good work. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk again later this year and hopefully have some additional good news to report.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate all the good work and support you're doing.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.